You are listening to the Fresh Take Network.
What it is, what it do, welcome to the Sharpshooters Wrestling Podcast. Joshua Adam William Arbuthnot with the one, the only, the Senator.
You already know what it is, what's happening?
And the Crown Prince of Charisma, the Futurist, Bias Comic Now, Kings of the Strip, the one and only, Martin.
Yeah, Kings of the Strip, about a Sunset Strip Los Angeles band. Check it out.
Go check it out. He's staying busy. And we're here. It's been a while. As I talked about on the Fresh Take pod, there's a transition going on with We Talk and Fresh Take and Sharpshooters and everything like that. So we'll keep you updated as it goes on. I know it's been a while for us, but I think part of the transition is happening with that. It was a busy May for everybody. So hopefully getting back to some regular pods going forward. But I was just kind of thinking this. I was watching AEW tonight. For the first time in 2 to 3 years, this is the quietest wrestling news period I can ever remember. Like, it's just like week, here comes the shows. Week, here comes the shows. Week, here comes the shows. There's no extra drama. You know, there's a talk about, you know, AEW and maybe getting their contract and is the product good and all that kind of stuff. But this is stuff we already talked about. But there's not that big dramatic news that we have like once a week where like, okay, should we do an emergency pod? I'll let you go first on that, Senator.
It's kind of what you really want, to tell you the truth. You just want to be able to just watch the product and not have to deal with all the stuff that's been going on. Like, last year was bad enough already, and there's way bigger things that are dominating the headlines right now, especially in the hip-hop world, if we all know what I'm talking about. So thank God we can take a little bit of a break, because things are just nasty otherwise. And the wrestling's supposed to be a escape from the nastiness.
Mm-hmm. Mon, what say you?
No, it's great. It's fun to concentrate on wrestling instead of as a business or as a scandal industry. It's not going to last, you know. No. The Vince McMahon court case is going to come up at some point. And there's going to be, you know, the switch over to Netflix and all this different stuff is going to come down and change the business. And we're going to be talking about all that junk, unfortunately, at some point. But for right now, let's just enjoy it as it is.
Absolutely. Like, I mean, I kind of was like starting to make the rundown for tonight. I'm like, are we just going to preview these pay-per-views? This is wonderful. Like, we're going to be out of here in like an hour, fellas.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. I'm okay with it.
For sure.
Because I was even thinking, like, have we missed anything in the past, like, month or so that we haven't been on? And I'm just like, well, other than, like, you know, Joe Hendry, I don't really know what else, like, it's been crazy that we've missed.
And that's not a negative story at all.
No, that's a great story. Because I believe in Joe Hendry.
Yeah, I enjoyed him in ROH years ago.
Yeah,
doing the same gimmick, but finally got over.
They have Against All Odds coming up, back to the Phil Collins pay per view level side of things, and the Moose is facing Josh Alexander, and I don't think that's the right call. I think, but I would assume that maybe at Slammiversary, that's where we finally go with Joe Hendry, because I know he's doing the stuff with AJ Francis right now.
It's honestly, I think it's the right call, to tell you the truth, just because TNA had a history before of just like hot-shotting the person, and that at times becomes a negative. So, like, allow Moose in, because Moose is now in with this new gimmick and everything, too. with the new faction and everything. Like, you want to build them up. And then Joe Henry has been working on this gimmick for so long. Like Morton said, this is before TNA. But like, now that he's there and it's getting over, just allow it to continue to build. Because that was the issue that they had with LA Knight when he when he got hotshotted into that title one. Like, sometimes it hurts more than it helps. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Definitely. Can he continue the momentum, though, Senator? And that is the question. Is he hot for a moment? Because you see that sometimes. Guy gets super hot and it lasts like 2 months. Or sometimes it continues to build. Like, what do you think?
I think it can. And one of the things that helps him is his connection with like Cultaholic, right? So like, he always just pops up in like what culture over there. So like, I think they're doing a show. They're supposed to be going back to the UK soon. So like, that would be a good thing for him. There's just small stuff that they can do to maintain it.
Yeah. So we all do believe in Joe Henry, though.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I would say, I mean, that song has, you know, my two favorite songs I've heard as singles right now is probably the They Not Like Us Kendrick diss that's been stuck in my head, and then Joe Henry. Those have been the two songs that have been the most stuck in my head that I've like found myself singing at work.
I don't find myself singing the song, but yeah, I'm glad that he got it as far.
I'll just like walk around a corner. I'm just like, I believe in Joe Henry. I don't think he claps in public, but in my head, they're going down.
Yeah.
No, but I'm really happy for him. It seems like, I mean, the only problem I would say is, I mean, this is probably the one and only time we're going to leave with TNA this year. It doesn't seem like TNA has the momentum that we thought they would. And I don't know if that's because of the departure there or what's going on. And they've had Matt Hardy, they've had Ziggler there. It just doesn't seem like they've had the momentum that I thought maybe the switch to TNA would have.
I think it's the product of the fact that their competition, which is bigger, is running so much television that it's burnout by the time they get to TNA. Mm-hmm. I really think that's what it is. It's really hard to get a foothold when you're smaller and the other guys are running, you know, I mean, between the, 15 hours a week or something crazy, you know, already. Like, that's tough to fight through. And burnout is a thing that just watching both WWE and TNA, or sorry, and AEW can be too much for me to fully pay attention already. So to add something else on top of that is pretty difficult.
Yeah.
And then you need to add the fact that their pay-per-views are Friday nights. And like, mm-hmm. Friday nights are dominated by SmackDown at this point. And then you got SmackDown, but then you also right now you have playoffs. There's too much things on TV at this point right now for people to really focus on TNA. And I also don't think them switching the name helped, because once again, you switched back, like you were building momentum with Impact and you finally got it to the point where you wanted it to be at, where people were like speaking about these awesome matches. And then now it's like, all right, we're back to TNA. And it's like, all right, what's going to happen now? When are you going to change your name again? What channel are you going to be moving to again? Like, it just felt like it just took your step back to like when they went to like Global Force and Impact and they were changing names like every 2 seconds. Like, mm-hmm. it doesn't really help.
They do have a really good match. I think the X Division title is something like, I think it's Trent Seven, Mustafa Ali, and Speedball.
Yeah.
The X Division title, that would be really, really good.
They have the talent.
The whole show will be good. Yeah. You know, yeah. I mean, it will be. I mean, they have good talent. There's enough good talent out there still that they've made some nice additions. You know, and they've made some nice additions, plus added Matt Hardy.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, It'll be fun for whoever watches it.
This is true. All right, but we're not here to talk about TNA. Let's cross the line to WWE. Before I kind of get to the pay-per-view of itself, the PLE of itself, any thoughts about the product recently, or just kind of want to preview the pay-per-view itself, PLE?
Honestly, to tell you the truth, I just think right now it's just fun to watch. Like, it's for me, like the King of the Ring, King and Queen of the Ring has just added a nice little feel of just having wrestling, like a lot more wrestling on the show. And I feel like that's such a great thing. We've been seeing some good, really great matches. Gunther again has just been Gunther.
That empty stadium promo was so good.
Yeah, like I like that. Only big thing for me is, man, can they just allow Darby to rest? Like, this guy has had one of the craziest. I fear when he gets to like 40. Like, it's just when I saw that he was the one that came back, I was like, oh my gosh, you're gonna put him in this situation.
I didn't believe it at first.
He's crazy.
Yeah. But that's when you have to protect. That's when the company has to do better to protect the person. It's like when you have like those old boxers who are just like, I can keep going, but they got knocked down three times and the corner has to be like, all right, you're done now. All right, let's throw in the towel right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. This is something that we've talked about with this company before, that they don't do a good enough job of protecting the wrestlers from themselves. From themselves. And I don't think it's going to change, unfortunately.
No, probably not. All right, let us get into the pay-per-view, the PLE, from Saudi Arabia.
Oh, hold on. That was the news that we should talk about real quick. Dana White was saying that TKO is now aiming to go back to TKO weekends.
Thank you, TKO.
UFC on Saturdays and WWE pay-per-views back on Sundays with Power Slap kicking it off on Fridays.
I'm probably in the minority of this, and I apologize to my family in the UK that loves the Saturdays. I'm being incredibly selfish in this, I understand, but because of the job that I do, I always have to work Saturday nights all the time, and I just want to watch a Royal Rumble with friends. So I'm very excited about the potential here. I have not watched the Royal Rumble with friends since 2020. So I'm very excited at that potential now, because every single time, my colleague to Jermaine, that we all know, broadcaster for The Surge and does stuff with me for with other teams, we always go look at the roster, like, do we have to call games in the Rumble? And 99% of the time, it's like, yep, Rumble, we have to work it, darn. So now, like, the potential to go back to the Sundays is great. I will admit, I do love these pay-per-views that we have. Like, the Saturday, 10 a.m., chef's kiss. I never want to get rid of those. Like, if I could, I'd always have these Saturday, 10 a.m. pay-per-views. Those are the best.
Yeah, it's for us, it's so much easier, because then you still have your day to go about right after, because they're usually about 2-3 hours. You're like, all right, 2 o'clock, 2-3 o'clock, I can hit the road and do whatever I need to do. So like, that's such a great thing. And to tell you the truth, they don't gotta be the best pay-per-views. Like, you just gotta, it's just something fun to watch during, while you're like getting ready in the morning.
I thought Backlash was gonna be terrible. Like, I remember getting my coffee, getting like, you know, a bagel ready for that PLE, and I was like, yeah, this is gonna suck. And by the end of it, I'm like, this pay-per-view is this PLE is amazing. And it probably, with the sound off, it was probably terrible, but the crowd and the atmosphere made that show so fun. And there were some really good matches. The women's triple threat was really good. AJ was like, you called me washed? Let me pull out a 5-star match.
That might be another big story. Dave Meltzer actually giving that a 5-star.
That was the first main roster since Punk and Cena, right?
Yeah.
5-star? Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Taker and Shawn did not get 5-stars.
Angle has never gotten a 5-star match.
Angle's never got a 5-star. And the NXT Toronto, the 2 out of 3 match that Joel and I went to with DIY versus FTR, that's not 5-stars. That one drives me crazy because that was like a 6-star match.
If they were in,
well, you had to be there.
Yeah, if they were in AEW, then yeah, that was a
was the match we went to. Was the FTR and the Bang Bang Gang? Was that 5-stars? The one that we saw in Calgary last year,
5¾, I believe.
Okay, so I have seen a 5-star match.
Yeah,
I have.
Well, I mean, whether you've seen a 5-star match to me is not determined by Dave Meltzer; it's determined by you.
Yeah.
Do you feel you've seen a 5-star match?
Yeah, and I would say I did beforehand with that FTR and DIY match. I'm still on the fence if I'm going to AEW 2 months here or not. But we'll. Have you got a ticket yet, Warden?
I haven't, but I am definitely going.
Okay, well, let me know. Maybe we'll sit together or something. I know Senator is out.
Yeah, that's a no for me. Yo.
Yeah. All right. Let us start with the King and the Queen of the Ring, going from Saudi Arabia. These are always fun and interesting shows to talk about, but we're going to just talk about the wrestling side of things. And we start with the Queen of the Ring. And right now we know Lara Vakaria is going. The question is, as we're recording this, we do not know if it will be Bianca Belair or it'll be Nia Jax. Leading into Friday, the internet decided to get really weird because Montez Ford changed his profile to say that he had 3 children instead of 2 with his prior wife. And so people were speculating. Obviously, there was also the stuff with Tiffany putting up a really dumb post that she posted if she was going to get pulled from the match and if Belair was going to get pulled from the match. And at the end of the day, Belair won the match. She's going to go on. I would assume if she was pregnant, she wouldn't wrestle. So I think we can put those rumors to bed. My guess is, I mean, do you want to do the heel versus the face, or do you want to do the 2 biggest stars? Bianca's, I would say, as big as Becky is, I would still say that Belair is their biggest women's draw right now. So do you want to have that be the draw in Saudi Arabia? I do think Lara is winning this, personally, but I think Belair is going to win. What do you say, Mon?
I kind of think it's going to be Nia Jax. I kind of think we're going to see the heel-face dynamic. I think that when they go on the road to a place like Saudi Arabia, they're more likely to stick to a heel-face dynamic. Keep it very simple for an audience that's not as educated on WWE product necessarily as some of the crowds that they might get at pay-per-views. So I think we're going to see the heel face dynamic personally.
And who do you have winning out of that?
I don't know. I mean, obviously, I'm guessing as to who's even going to be there. It's difficult to say who's going to win because it shouldn't be Nia. It shouldn't be Nia.
I can see this Becky Kyria thing coming at SummerSlam.
That makes sense. It feels like it could be.
What do you say, Senator?
I think Bianca is going to make it to the finals. And I think they're going to make Bianca win.
Yeah.
But I think
that adds to the Jade Fury of you won it, I didn't type of thing.
Yeah, I feel like they're going to give, they want Lyra to look really good, and the people that they've put her in has been like the best that you could put her in for both sides at this point. But yeah, I don't know if she's, unless she's going to win with like a roll up, but I think Bianca wins it.
Okay, so I'm going to go with Valkyrie. Senator's going with Belair. And Martin, who are you going with?
I guess I'm going with Nia, though I hate it.
You're going with Nia. So we have all, we got all the winners picked out here. We're good to go. All right. Then I ask you, who will be King of the Ring? Look at that fancy graphic we got here. Only the best now. I'll let you lead this one, Senator. Yeah.
I was watching Cultaholic pitches, and Ross made a really good pitch, and I never thought about it that way, because originally I was just going to say Gunther the whole time. And then he made a pitch that Orton should win. And the reason why is because then you can have the Wyatt family debut after that, because of the history with Randy and Bray and and everything. And I never even really thought about that, but it's supposed to be that the Wyatt Six are supposed to be, or Wyatt is supposed to be debuting some form of it, whether it's Uncle Howdy or the new character that they've been developing,
or Rowan.
Rowan, supposedly Dexter, Cross, Gacy. Yeah. So like, I like that pitch. And then I saw a next one somewhere else that said Bron Breakker is going to take somebody out, and then he's going to end up winning.
I love that one. Well, there's also the pitch I gave to Morton. I thought that Jimmy was going to win, because I thought this was going to be Jimmy versus Tama. And I thought Tama was ultimately going to win, because his dad was one of the first Kings of the Ring in Kinhaku.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think now that you have Gunther there, I think they're just going to give it to Gunther and have him be the king and have that gimmick going for now. The Orton stuff makes a lot of sense, but you're not going to, Gunther is such an important character for them right now. And he's sitting on all cylinders. If he's not going to be a champion, at least having the King of the Ring gimmick around him is something that you can lead into and do maybe a big pop of circumstance when they have the August pay-per-view. Where is that? That's Austria or Germany? Germany, right? Yeah, he's from Austria.
Yeah.
So I could see that. So I'm going to go with Gunther.
I just don't want him walking around with a crown and thing.
I don't even.
Just if he's going to win.
I don't think they'll do that.
Yeah, just let him win. And if anything, let him smash the crown and just be like, this is a disrespect to thing. I am only about professional wrestling and not this. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't need the crown.
No. No, he doesn't.
When I think of Orton and Bray, my skin kind of crawls a little bit, because
your memories?
It was awful. Both times.
Yeah.
It was awful. And so, I mean, I don't need to revisit that in any fashion. I do think Gunther wins, just because he's done one job on the main roster. And I think he only did in NXT a couple.
Lost to Dragunov.
I think it was only to Dragunov, wasn't it?
Did he not lose to Dunn at all?
No.
He
won. He won the belt off of Dunn. And then I think he only dropped it when he lost to Dragunov.
I'm going to pull a Tony Khan and go to his cage match.
Well, he lost once in WWE, in NXT UK, I think. And then once in NXT. So that would be two. But, I mean, it depends on whether or not you consider UK part of that.
Yeah, he has won a lot.
Yeah, he doesn't do jobs. They
did not. I don't think he lost in, like, tag matches. but like singles matches, he only lost in tag matches in 2023.
I remember the Brawling Brutes beating them at one point in a tag match in a three and or six man or something, whatever you want to call
it. I have to go back to NXT right here. Cesaro beat him once by DQ.
Yeah, sort of counts.
He lost to Braun his last match in NXT. He lost to Braun.
Oh, that's what it was. It was Braun, and then he lost to Dragunov in UK.
Yeah,
that's UK. Yeah,
yeah.
That's it.
That's it.
Other than that,
that's
like it. He's before, and then before that, it's just all more or less the independents.
So I mean, this guy doesn't. He is probably one of the three most protected acts in the company.
Yeah, well, I think about the people he lost to. You lost to Bron Breakker, who I would pretty much guarantee is a future WWE champion. You lost to Sami Zayn, who maybe he's never a WWE champion, but is going to be one of the most beloved babyfaces in the history of the company. And you lost to Dragunov, who at the very least is going to be remembered as one of the best wrestlers that came out of this company, one of his best rivals, potentially a WWE champion one day.
Well, he'll win some belt. I don't think he'll be a, win a world
title. That's why I'm not guaranteeing that. That's why I'm not guaranteeing it with him and Sammy. Braun, it's guaranteed.
Yeah, probably, yeah. I mean, it'd be hard to...
Dragunov and Sammy, I can't... I mean, Sammy, not at this point, you would assume it would happen with Sammy eventually. But I don't know.
You don't need it to be a Hall of Famer. Put it that way.
I don't think Sammy needs it.
And he's a Hall of Famer already.
Like Piper never had it.
Yeah, he's like the modern day like Piper, Mr. Perfect type person. Like you don't need to give him the main belt. I think him always striving for the belt is the story. But him coming up and having great matches for like the IC belt and the United States Championship, those are like where he needs to be.
Yeah, and well, and let's just make that transition right now then.
You have me down for Gunther then, obviously?
I have you down for Gunther, yeah. I will say this with Gunther too, like just really quickly before we go to the IC match. Again, how protected he is right now and the promos. I remember, Morton, you famously gave the quote about how excited the WWE would be to get Gunther and if they could book him correctly. And here we are all these years later. And I don't think any of us, though, like I would say right now, he might be The Rock is probably going to win it. But because The Rock has gone so long, like Gunther is getting very close to being my promo of the year. Like The Rock had an unbelievable 3 months of cutting fantastic promos. But Gunther is so good at cutting. Like he does the one thing that's important when you have a promo. You want to listen.
Well, the thing about him is that there's nothing fake about his gimmick.
No.
You know, there's nothing like he believes in what he's saying. He believes in, it's not a gimmick, it's him, you know, and you believe that. So you believe every word that's coming from his mouth and it comes across forcefully, passionately, and believably, you know, those. And so it's very effective when he talks, which is something I think they're very surprised about.
We know that. Two main reasons why he's being booked the way how he is, because you see the one person who's running that was the person that was running NXT and NXT UK and had him booked strong. We know if that other man that was running the company prior was there, he would not be where he is right now. And I have him in my top five for promos. But right now, leading the charge for me is Drew McIntyre.
Oh, yeah. Drew's been great. I loved on Raw this week. Drew more or less was like, why am I here? Like, this is stupid. Like, I'm hurt. I can't do anything. Why am I here?
Yeah, he's leading the charge for me right now.
We all know I'm not facing Punk for like two more months. So, like, why am I here?
Why am I dressed in my wrestling gear? Like,
yeah. All right, let's get to the IC match. We have Sami Zayn versus Chad Gable versus Bronson. I like what they're doing with the Alpha Academy. Bronson's been staying strong. the Sammy run has been going pretty good so far. Like, again, the IC belt is kind of what we grew up with. It matters. And it's the Apex match on the show. This has a 5-star potential to it. This is the match I'm looking forward to the most on this show. Unless Gunther faces, Gunther versus Tama probably won't be that good, but Gunther versus Orton has the potential. So if it's Gunther and Orton, that'll be up there. But this will probably steal the show. It's not time for Gable to get it yet. I think we're a month or so still away from Gable getting it, but Gable still should get it. I don't think this needs to be a long run by Sammy. It should eventually end up in Gable, I think, this year still. But I will have Sammy win. I just think it's too early still for Gable to get it.
This is like a home.
You're right. Oh, go ahead.
My bad. This is like a home show for Sammy. That's the reason why I'm giving it to Sammy.
Yeah.
I was going to say the same thing. If you're going to take the belt off Sammy, you sure as hell don't do it in Saudi Arabia. No. You know, you don't. It's not time for Sammy to lose it yet. I do like what they're doing with Gable. Gable has become a really good performer. He was always a good wrestler. But I don't think they knew that he could be a good entertainer.
Has he beat the Shorty G allegations yet? Pardon me? Has he overcame it? Has he overcame Shorty G?
Yeah, he's overcome Shorty G at this point. Though that shows how they didn't think much of him, right?
Vince didn't,
You know? Yeah, he's become just a wonderful performer more than just a wrestler. So, he's got a great future. And Bronson is
great.
Bronson's the type of guy you want to put a belt on because people see him walking down the street with a belt. They think, oh, nobody's going to beat that guy's ass. So, he's got a chance in the future to be a champion as well. But it's not time
to be so cliche with him,
especially not in Saudi.
I hate to be so cliche with Bronson, but you know who he reminds me of every time I watch him? He reminds me so much of Bam Bam. And I hate to be cliche with the big guy and everything that's agile, but he has a lot of attributes that remind me of Bam Bam.
Yeah, he's not as good as Bam Bam. Bam Bam was awesome.
So good.
But
Bam Bam was way ahead of his time.
Way too ahead of his time. Something, he was special.
I kind of put him... I don't really see him as Bam Bam, but maybe that's just my thought. I see him more like a Vader type.
Yeah, it's a mix of both.
It's the thing, but I'm just doing a random fantasy booking right now.
Let's do it.
You know what would be the best story for Gable? If Gable doesn't win the belt for a while, but somehow Otis wins the belt, and then you have Gable take the belt from Otis, right? Where it was like you'll never beat the teacher. That type of one right now. Because we've already seen like Sammy and Gable a few times. We've seen Gable and Bronson a few times. You know what I mean? Like just throw somebody in the mix and with that crowd pop that Otis is starting to get right now.
Yeah, he's getting over.
Yeah. If he ends up with the belt and Gable takes it from him, that could lead to some really good story.
Well, we've seen that storyline with the Gable Otis storyline. We've seen it a million times, and we'll see it a million more because it works.
Yep,
it does.
It works almost every time.
Well, that's why, like, if Otis did the turn on him, aligned with him, let's just say, I don't think you can do it in Saudi, and I don't think you can do it the next in Toronto. The only times I think you can make this work right now to take the belt off of Sammy where you're not going to get absolutely drenched in booze, unless you really want that heat, is in Scotland or in Cleveland. Those are probably your two. If you want to take the belt off of Sammy a little bit earlier, but in Saudi, he's going to be a huge fan favorite. And in Toronto, he's going to be a huge fan favorite.
Absolutely.
And so maybe you want to take the belt off him in Scotland. And then have Sammy win Money in the Bank potentially, but I think it's pretty obvious who's winning Money in the Bank at this point.
I do think it's more likely you see Gable win the belt and defend against Otis than the other way around.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Storyline wise, I like what you're saying, Senator.
Yeah. Yeah. We're all taking Sammy then.
Yeah.
All right. Next, we have for the Women's Championship, Becky versus Liv. Say this about Liv. The promo she cut, the passion is there and the charisma is there, but she just can't connect it. If that makes sense. I don't know what it is, but she just can't connect it. Like, the passion's there and the charisma's there, but there's just not an extra connect that she has with her promos. In ring, she's okay, and she's obviously a fan favorite, but there's something missing for me again with so many talented women on this roster to that I would be like, yeah, we got to put the strap back on the Liv.
Well, Liv should have the belt when Rhea comes back. Rhea's not coming back anytime soon. And I don't see Liv having a run that long as champion as well. So, I mean, it's this one's a tough call. I'll go. I don't think Becky's losing it, though. I don't think it'll be a it wouldn't surprise me to have something like a DQ or count out, like something that continues the run between them. I don't see Becky losing it here.
No.
I don't see Becky losing it now either. I think that her Liv winning the title should be the last part of her revenge. I think it should be because there was like that image of Finn getting out the same car as
in NXT.
Yeah, and then we have all this. We have like the photo shoot that she did with Dom's bandana in her pocket and all those meetings with her and Dom. So I feel like slowly but surely it's taking away the people from the Judgment Day first and then take the belt and then you have Rhea return, right? Like that's how it should be. I think it's too early. And I think one of the problems that she has is that she looks too nice. Which is why the promos don't connect.
Yeah, she like, can't hit the heel side.
Yeah, like there's a facial expression that comes with the stuff. And this is just from like watching wrestling for years there. Once you make that turn, you still have to make that adjustment, right? Like
it's kind of like Fallon Henley. I can never buy her as a baby face. Ever. I'll never be able to buy Fallon Henley as a baby face. She will always be a heel.
There's some people who are like that, who are like, you just can't picture them. The other, and when they try it, it often doesn't work.
Like Sonya Deville. Like,
well, Roman Reigns is a great example. Roman Reigns is, you know,
he's
a babyface suddenly.
Crazy. But he's going to be huge babyface when he comes back.
He's
going to
be
think
huge babyface when he comes back. But for a long time, the reason why he wasn't a baby, he couldn't connect with that crowd, right?
Yeah.
As the babyface. So, yeah, I mean, what is Becky's contract status now?
Still not signed.
2 weeks out.
Yeah.
Beth is also 2 weeks out. Or does Seth resign? Okay.
Seth resigned already.
Okay, Seth resigned.
Seth did resign, yeah.
I mean,
yeah, so interesting. You would think.
She's not going to go to AEW.
No, she's not.
So the only thing I could think is she's
unless she wants some time off.
Be a
unless
mom?
She wants some time off, that's. But that is a. While we're all picking Becky, or at least me and Senator did, that's a bit of a. A wrench in the works, doesn't it? The contract status.
Well, there could be the whole situation that, you know, her. I think their kid is. So like she announced it during like the start of the pandemic after Mania. So it was 2020. I think she had the kid in 2021. So the kid's about 3 or 4, right? So you're like 2 years away or so from preschool and grade one and everything like that. So what I'm trying to say is she could just want to be a mom for a little bit again and not be on the road and do all this stuff. And no one would blame her for that. Everyone would be totally, I mean, there'll be assholes that would, obviously, because there always is. But I think for the most part, most normal people would be like, hey, if you want to go home and be a mom, go be a mom. Go to movies or whatever else you'd want to do right now because she has that ability to do all that stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
So I will take Liv, but you know, that could be part of it. Of just like, yeah, I don't want to be weighed down by a contract right now. I have some freedom for the first time. I'm a mom. I just wrote a book. I can do anything I really want to do. So I'm going to have that ability to spend more time with my kid, maybe go shoot movies, maybe go on a book tour, whatever I want to do.
Yeah, she has an ability. And regardless of whatever, like if she doesn't drop the title on Saturday, then they're probably going to make her drop. Like, they know she's not going anywhere.
No.
And she knows she's not going anywhere. So, like, she might work, like, a month on a handshake deal and then drop it at, like, the Toronto show. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's
Trish. Full circle.
That'd be interesting. But let's not push it. No.
That'd be amazing.
But, yeah, she's good regardless of whatever. She's set in that company.
Absolutely. And then our main event, Cody versus Logan. The lawyer got involved. This is not for the United States Championship. It will not make Cody a Grand Slam champion. Cody's done such a good job of building himself up during the. I think there was a little bit, the 3 weeks outside of it, people were like, is Cody a good champion or not? I think we're getting back on a road now where he is a good champion and you're caring about these title defenses and Logan's such a good heel. Now we know he's not going to, you're not in the suspense of disbelief that he's going to lose these matches yet, but AJ did a really good job giving a good match and him and Logan will have a good match as well. Like, I want to say until maybe SummerSlam, we'll put some self doubt if Cody's going to lose, but probably not then.
Yeah, Cody to me is when Cody. Here's the thing. I could see this ending in a DQ. I could see something happening on Friday, and then it actually turns out to be a title for title match, and then it ends in a DQ. But if it's a straight up win, Cody's going to win. And the only thing I don't want is them debuting the Wyatt Six attacking like Cody, because I don't want, they can't be put into that title thing now. They need to establish themselves at this point. So 100%.
I mean, are we assuming that by SummerSlam it's Solo and Cody? It's SummerSlam? Is that what we're assuming at this point?
I don't think so.
Or you think they're staying away from the Bloodline?
I number one, I think Cody's gonna hold the belt a hell of a long time.
Well, he's probably facing Rock, right?
Personally.
Probably facing the Rock at Mania.
Very likely. Very likely. I mean, yeah, it's going to be a while before he, I think. I like the build here. I can't see a DQ only because it is in the main event slot. I don't think you do a DQ in the last match of the show in Saudi Arabia. I think that would leave a bad taste in fans' mouths. So I don't see that happening. So I think Cody's going to retain, obviously. And like you said, I mean, nobody thinks Cody's going to lose. And this is the problem with a lot of matches I watch and a lot of champions right now. It's very easy in both companies to see who's usually going to win.
Yeah, especially since we had so many new champions at Mania.
Yeah, and the thing is, you can still have a good match regardless. And this should be a good match. It won't be Cody and AJ, but it'll be good.
So the more important question, as far as titles that are up in question, is, because we're all going to go with Cody here, is Priest. Obviously, it seems like he's going to face Drew in Scotland. Are we just assuming this is just the two-month title reign and we're going to have Drew win in Scotland and get his moment and then he'll face Punk at SummerSlam? Is it that simple? Or do we take something from the Finn and Balor Finn and Priest teases and that's going to lead that down the road? Like, where do we see that all going?
I think you got to get that belt off Priest right away because like I said this before and it still remain, they're trying with him and I kind of like his performance as champion and everything, but there's no dream match with him and Drew isn't a dream match. You're like, oh, okay, yeah, you know, even though that with the promos, boy, it was funny to see Drew being just a little bit taller than Priest. Just a touch. I mean, Priest is billed as being taller than Drew, but he isn't. But yeah, I think that's the thing is Priest doesn't have world champion feel to him. And there's a lot of guys in the roster that do. And there's a lot of guys in the roster who you have a lot of dream matches, and he's not one of them.
No.
I agree.
Finn's the only one. Finn's the only one.
I agree. Finn is
most, yeah.
But I do think that they're going to lean towards Finn and Damian for like SummerSlam. And I think that you're going to have Punk screw Drew
in Scotland.
In Scotland.
Makes more sense. That's a better story.
Yeah. Like, I think because he's going to be cheered. Like, Drew's gonna be the hero there, and so that will get Punk some heat over there. But when they come back here, he's gonna be the one cheered, and Drew's gonna be.
It's like Punk and MJF with the Long Island stuff.
Are we getting a Bret Hart? He's a babyface.
Yeah,
everywhere, yeah. But the States thing, is that what
like,
you're
I
saying?
Saw, I told you, it's like when Punk did the stuff in AEW with Max, right? And when he went to Long Island, yeah, people booed the shit out of Punk. And then when he went back anywhere else, people cheered Punk.
Yeah. And I think that's going to lead to like a more vicious Drew, which will lead to potentially, because right now I think Punk kind of needs a little bit of gimmick matches at times. To help him right now, especially with like his injury status and how quickly he gets injured at this point right now. So I think having those gimmicks will assist him with a little bit of the longevity.
And before you go more, and I think you don't need Punk to have the belt yet either. You might even want to do Drew and Punk for the belt at Mania or at a Royal Rumble. So you can save that for a little bit here, Morton.
It's a little bit early to talk about this, but I think, maybe I'm wrong, I think all three of us, though, would agree that Punk is probably going to go over, but Drew is the one who should go over. Do you guys agree with that?
Yeah, I don't think you give Punk the belt until Mania. That's why I almost wonder, plans change, right? It's all supposed to be Roman versus The Rock. Now I almost wonder if You can hold off Drew and Punk until Mania. You can't. It's just way too long for that. But you could do a match at SummerSlam, and you could have Drew potentially win that one. And then maybe in that meanwhile, maybe then Drew gets the belt, and then maybe Punk wins the Rumble next year. Maybe you could do something like that. I could also see, I would say The Rock is probably the heavy favorite to win the Rumble right now if I had to bet on anything.
I don't think The Rock needs to win the Rumble to get a world title match. I don't think that's a problem. I do think putting the belt on Punk is a problem. I think that's an issue. I number one, he doesn't need it. And number two, you can't trust his durability. You can't.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Just straight up. You cannot trust the durability of a guy who's about to be 49 and has his old injury history. Yeah.
Not that old.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe he's about. I believe he's 48 and about to be 49.
I did not know. Let me double check that. That's crazy. I thought he was like 46.
I thought he was 48. But either way, but with his injury history as well, so I just don't think he's 45. He is 49.
He's 45.
Oh, 45. Yeah. Oh wow. Okay,
he's much. He doesn't turn 46 until October.
But his body is 100.
Sure,
is my point.
Yeah.
His body is 100. I wouldn't put the belt on him at all. I don't think you need to.
He will get it though. We know that.
He's going to get the belt.
Yes.
My early WrestleMania prediction is that it's going to be a three-way match. It's going to be Rollins, McIntyre, Punk for the title.
And that's the main event.
And you could hold off Finn and till Damian until then as well.
You could. I'm wondering though, I don't think Punk's gonna get his main event. Because if it's Rock and
he'll get Cody, night one. He'll get night one.
Well, what's Roman doing? Is it Roman in the blood? Is it Roman and Solo?
Probably. So if that's not for a belt though, if that's not for a belt, it's not the main event.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. All right. Well, that is King and Queen of the Ring should be a fun show. Limited matches. And like we said, get up early for that. Let's move on to AEW. And, man, there didn't look like there was any fans there tonight, by the way. The way that it was lit tonight. The crowd was loud, though. It was one of the louder AEW crowds in a while.
Might not have been. I mean, they are, yeah. I mean, same thing Saturday night. I wonder what that crowd will be like.
It's the ratings have obviously not been great so far. I can tell you how many tickets they sold tonight. Yeah, they only sold 2,000 tickets tonight.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
You know what I think hurts AEW more than anything else? It's AEW is more, it's not mainly for casual fans. It's like smart fans. And I think what hurts them is the announcement of how much tickets they sell each week. Like I genuinely think, like, when you look at it, everyone's kind of in the know of it. So it's kind of like, well, if I don't show up to the show, it's not like anything. You know what I mean? Like, it's when you saw it on the road to WrestleMania, the whole time they were talking about, this is our 15th sold out show in a row. Like, the casual fans that WWE have will be like, they tuned in and then they're like, oh, it's back. Like, the product that I used to watch is back, right? Not even just the action in the ring, but just hearing that stuff. Everyone has like that sheep mentality when you're a casual fan. So when you hear 15 sold out show, you're like, I need to go to the next one. Mm-hmm. But then when you have like the smart fans, it's like 2,000 tickets sold. It's like, do I really need to go to the next one? Like, I'll catch them the next time they come to my city. Like,
and Senator, let me ask you this first, and you can respond more, and then we'll get to the preview of the draft, because this is actually a question I wanted to talk about for a while. TK does the injury before the NFL draft, and then obviously has the Harvey Weinstein comparison to WWE. So, did everything that TK do at the draft help or hurt AEW?
I don't think it had an effect on it.
That's my answer, too. It's complete non-issue to me.
Like, I'm wondering non-starter. If it hindered some people, like, oh, that wrestling thing is so silly. Like, what is this guy doing in his neck brace at the draft? Because I got attention, but I don't know if it was positive or nothing attention.
Yeah. It's, people might have laughed and then they forgot the next day. Mm-hmm.
And he overshadowed it with that Harvey Weinstein comment. Like, yeah. Like, it took, he was at that point right there where it was something where some people would have been like, what the hell happened to this guy? And then they may have went and gone and looked for it. But your next statement is something wild, like the Harvey. And I know what he was trying to say. What mm-hmm. he was trying to say, I get it. How you deliver it is a very big thing. And he completely messed up the delivery on it. So it took away from everything, that the point that he was trying to make.
Yeah, the media training is not there.
I know what he was trying to say, and you said he messed up the delivery. My thinking is, it's not his place to be the one to say it in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
No.
You know?
No.
It doesn't
matter. You're absolutely correct about that one.
So we do go and preview the show this week. We start with Roderick Strong versus Will Ospreay. This should be a great match. By the way, I should say for people on here, I have not seen Will Ospreay and Daniel Bryan yet, Bryan Danielson yet. I have still not seen that pay-per-view. I was in Japan when it happened. I still haven't got around to see it, but I've heard it was fantastic. Would you guys, before we get on, would you guys consider that the match of the year?
No.
For me, Takeshita and Will is the match of the year still.
Okay.
But they're all, I mean, Will to me has probably four of the matches of the year of the top 10 so far. So that's
crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy. This should be good. So I was thinking about this. We're 5 months in.
We knew this was not to answer that question. I jumped in.
Oh, yeah. Senator, I think he said no.
I said no.
Yeah, he said no.
Right.
Yeah. We're 5 months in since the storyline here with the kingdom. This has not been, it's been fine, right?
What the hell happened to Adam Cole? I was bitching about this actually to Joel. He
disappeared. And what happened to Willow?
He gets out of the wheelchair. And I understand getting out of the wheelchair doesn't mean you're ready to wrestle necessarily. Doesn't mean you're clear to wrestle. But he's out of the wheelchair and then he's gone. What the hell? And it probably shows up. He probably shows up at the pay-per-view.
When did he get out of the wheelchair, Morton?
Television, so they can have the surprise. And that's played out. Jeez, it's just bad storytelling.
When did he get out of the wheelchair?
That's where I have an issue.
Last pay-per-view.
Storytelling is not there.
Okay, see, because I didn't see that.
You need to have 2 to 3, and WWE is doing this very well, 2 to 3 segments where you go, there needs to be character development or character change or cliffhanger, something that makes you go, oh, I got to tune in next week to see what happens. You never have the, I have to tune. If I missed tonight's show, I didn't miss anything. Yeah, I thought it was a good show, but I didn't miss anything that would have made me, that would have been must know for the pay-per-view. Nothing.
Yep.
There's my little AEW rant.
I think the problem to me is, and I could be completely wrong on this, but this is just my, I don't watch AEW as much as you guys do. But when I do tune in, I always tune into the pay-per-views. That's the one thing I definitely do tune into. The weekly shows to me are just like whatever. And like Morton, you said it earlier, like when you're watching all the WWE paper stuff, like you get tired out, especially if you have a life, like you're not going to sit down there and try to catch up on the stuff. So I'll like go watch the YouTube clips of what happened on AEW. So I'm still like in the know going into the pay-per-views. But that Adam Cole segment that we're talking about, the reason why I think it was such a dumb thing to do is you've already messed up with Mercedes money for her not being cleared to wrestle for how long. And then you did this thing with Adam Cole where he probably isn't ready to come back, but then you wanted to tease that he was gonna, like, he's ready. And then you tease that look between him and Wardlow. And then it was like, what are we doing if you're not gonna execute it like right away? Like, if you wait 2 months to do it, it's kind of pointless.
Yeah, there is a reason why AEW doesn't have the momentum they once had. And in a bubble, this show will be terrific. I could take this show and show it to a non-wrestling fan and say, look at how great the athleticism and the wrestling, how much fun you have. I mean, it looks like it's going to be 7 hours long, which is another issue. But other than that, you know, because they have an absolute ton of matches. But in a bubble, this is going to be a great event. But having great pay-per-views, and even if you have decent buys for it, doesn't necessarily constitute success. 2,000 tickets sold doesn't constitute success either. It needs to be better storytelling, better booking that way. And they're not going to lose me because I'm the sports more than entertainment guy. So, I mean, if I just tune in and get great matches, I'm satisfied. But I also know that's not how the company grows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Guys, you're good. I'm glad you kept on without me. I had some technical difficulties on my side, but I'm glad you kept on.
Technical difficulties. I was hoping you were gone the whole time, Billy. It's like, oh, no,
I guess are we still leading to Roddy to pick this at this point because of Adam Cole interference?
Could be Adam Cole interference. It could be, Wardlow, where he plays in. Could see Max show up. Could see Don Callis turn on him, turn on Will. I mean, there's a lot of ways they can go. Don't get me wrong. I just hope they have a good wrestling match without a lot of crap involved. Just let these two wrestle because they're both fantastic. And it'll give us one of the best matches of the year again. And that said, I do think Will wins just because, I mean, he's the guy. Like, you know, Swerve is great, but ultimately long term, Will's the guy. So I don't think you have him do a job this early in his tenure at the company.
If he's the guy, then do you do Will and Swerve at all?
No, this is the reason why he gets this belt, is because as long as he has this belt, you can keep him away from the world title and Swerve. And that way Swerve can have a nice long run like he deserves, because he's also, like, he's terrific.
Yeah, I'm leaning the same way. I'm leaning towards Will on this one. And I think that at All In, is that the one in?
Yeah, I think.
All out. Just they just shifted from Labor Day weekend too, which, thank God, because last year made no sense why they had that pay per view so close after All In. And I think this is where you kind of lead back to that Hangman Swerve for the title. Like, I feel like that grudge match with the belt. There, that's where you kind of play that in. Please just don't make it Jungle Boy and Swerve. Like, I hate all these teases of Swerve with the Elite.
It's gonna happen.
I know. I just don't want. I don't want to see it.
I know.
I might be.
I just want Kenny to be healthy too. Just, I don't really care if I see Kenny wrestle again at this point. I just want Kenny to be healthy.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all feel that way, though.
Yeah,
they certainly have teased Kenny versus Okada. I think we are going to see that one more time,
and Will,
which will be. Yeah. Anyways, everybody's picking, or the two of us are picking Will, but you're picking Roddy. Josh?
I'm going to pick Roddy. I think outside interference. I know Will's the guy and everything like that. I just think Roddy just got it, and they're going to build up this Undisputed Kingdom thing still. So I will go with Roddy right now in some kind of way that the Kingdom kind of messes things up. But it should be a really good match. Well, and
If Wardlow fails to help him retain, that storyline that they have going in the Undisputed Kingdom with him and Cole also gets forwarded, though. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, there's some Wardlow contract rumors going on right now too. Mm-hmm. Sounds like that's almost up, and it sounds like Ricky's is almost up.
Yeah, Ricky's. And I imagine, because he's
absent. We know where Ricky's going. Yeah. All right, women's title match: Timeless Toni Storm versus Serena Deeb. I know who I want to win this match. I don't think it's going to happen, because I know it's going to happen at Wembley. So I'm going to pick Toni Storm. I really want Serena Deeb to win. I want her to have her moment, but it just seems so obvious that we're going to get Toni Storm and Jamie Hayter at Wembley. So I'm going to go with Toni Storm.
Yeah, I'm going Toni Storm, and I think that for some weird reason, I don't know if they forgot who was the heel and who was the face that one week there when Serena Deeb cut that real, like, passionate, like,
the Edmonton crowd were assholes to her.
Yeah, like, it was just,
it was a terrible problem.
It was her, what you call it, passionate promo.
Yeah,
it wasn't a good promo, but it was, it
didn't help that people were like, let's go, Oilers.
Yeah, but
I don't respect the people of Edmonton either. If you want to know, we're from Calgary, we're not supposed to, but
that was
I just think Toni Storm has to win this one. Like, it's she is the most entertaining person that they have, like, woman that they have. And she's gonna face
Jamie Hayter at Wembley. I think that's way too obvious.
Where is Britt
Storm wins?
With DDP,
is Toni Storm British? I thought she was Australian as well.
Toni, she's an Aussie.
I do think Toni Storm is you nailed it, Senator, the most entertaining thing in the women's division. And B, The crowd has turned her baby face over, Serena Deeb, and certainly having her wrestle Saraya and stuff like that will turn her baby face as well. But still, for that reason, I don't see she should be a champion a long time, unless Hayter is the one to take it from her if she ever gets healthy.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Who are you going for?
The next one we have, I'm going to go with Toni Storm. The next one we got is Adam Copeland versus Black, another guy with potential contract running out, potentially, from what we've hearing. And it's a barbed wire steel cage match. I don't know what Copeland came to AEW to do other than prove that he can do everything, that he's like Mick Foley in Japan and in WCW. He's kind of doing Mick Foley's career in reverse.
Here's the thing. To me, if Malakai Black loses, is because he's leaving the company. He when we're talking about being well protected in single runs, I don't think has he lost a match in a single match.
He hasn't had that many, but I don't think he's lost three in
the 3 years he's been. He was facing Cody in AEW, so he's been there for a second.
Yeah, like I honestly think that if he loses, it's because he's actually leaving the company.
Yeah,
I don't know. I think they like Adam Copeland as champion. He's having a good run. I mean, he had a really good match with Black. Then he had a fantastic match with O'Reilly. And, you know, tonight's angle, I thought for a bloodbath angle, which I'm never a fan of, it was one of the more effective ones that I've seen.
And Taz, I think, was genuinely pissed. You could tell. I think he was genuinely pissed. Like, because he was like, I've been on a desk when you're trying to hold stuff in. He was genuinely like you could tell he was like, this is bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they ruined a really nice suit from what I understand. So,
yeah,
it was a lot, but like I say, it was fairly effective. So, let's go with Cope from my end, just cause I think that they like him and, he's crazy. Black's crazy. It's going to be a crazy barbed wire bloodbath.
Who would have thought we'd see Edge have a barbed wire steel cage match at this point of his life?
Like, crazy.
It's crazy. Who are you going with, Senator?
I said Black.
Okay. Great. And Martin, you're going with Cope?
Cope.
And if he wins, I wouldn't be surprised, because who else after here's the thing. I kind of stopped liking Adam Copeland for a bit after that whole rah-rah speech that they made him come out to do.
Yeah.
To kick off the show
that he wanted to do.
I know. Yeah, that's true. That he wanted to do. And it was kind of just like, all right, you haven't been there long enough to be like the flag bearer. All this stuff, but he is doing good matches. I'm not gonna lie about that. Except some of them are just way too long for each TV show.
This is true. This is true.
I will say, with Cope. Oh, go ahead, Martin.
Who should have? I'm just wondering, Senator, who should have been the guy to come out? I think MJF, but he's hurt. But other than that, who? If there probably should have been nobody. But if there was somebody, who should it have been?
In my opinion, I think just because of we know the history and the stuff that he's been doing backstage, I would have been okay with Bryan Danielson going out to doing it, because you've seen how much he's been integrated into everything. Moxley, if you just wanted like a raw promo, I wouldn't have had a problem with Moxley doing it. I just think it was just too new for Adam, people still only call him Edge at times and have to like go back and correct himself. Like, you are known, more known.
We're still calling Bryan Danielson Daniel Bryan.
Daniel Bryan.
We've all done it.
Yeah. But people quickly catch themselves after and they're like, oh, thing. A lot of times people are just like, yeah, it's Edge.
Yeah, it gets so ingrained in your head, right? I mean, I will say he has not been the needle mover I thought he would be when it came to AEW. And there's another individual we'll talk about that has came there, which I'm like, wow, the needle didn't even tick up.
It's not individuals that will do it. It's individuals with storytelling.
There's no one. Mm-hmm. There's no one. There's no one in this company.
Look at Hulk Hogan or they had the storylines around him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're seeing that more and more.
It was generally the same storyline, but it was effective. Some big, huge, unbeatable monster. The same thing they did with Bruno Sammartino in the 70s. Comes in, beats everybody, beats all his friends, Bruce Beefcake and Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and then faces Hogan. And he seems unstoppable, and Hogan's the underdog, and Hogan wins. And it's the same thing. They had storylines with Austin. They had storylines with Cena. You can have the guy, but if you don't have the storylines behind it, they didn't have, when Shawn Michaels was on top, they didn't really have good storylines. They were struggling at that point. And the company's business went down. And that's Shawn Michaels. He's one of the all-time greatest ever, right? So it's not about, it's not a guy who's not going to come in and move the needle. Like, that's the thing about Ospreay. He's not going to move the needle unless the storylines are there with it.
There's only been one, and that was Punk. But that was because of everything that came with him. Of not being around the company for not being in the business for 10 years and everything that he brought. That's why it moved.
And he was in storylines, Josh. He was.
Oh, yeah. That helps. That helps as well. Yeah. Like the MJF one's probably, is that the single best storyline that the company's ever had?
I actually wonder if the Wardlow MJF is probably the single best company storyline they ever had. Probably.
Yeah. Honestly, my favorite one. Was Cody and I'm gonna say I don't remember what his name was in AEW, but Luke Harper, John Huber, like that storyline there.
Brody Lee, I really
loved that story.
Yeah, that was great.
Good. Yeah, and that was only for the TNT title, but that elevated that made the TNT title feel like old school IC title. Like the way how they kind of elevated that and that win when he won it, especially in that dominating fashion that he did. I was like, okay, yes, like we're back.
So we're all going with Cope?
I'm going Black still.
You're going with Black, Cap. For the New Japan Championship, you got Mox versus Takeshita. Takeshita.
It's not for the New Japan Championship. Yeah. It's an eliminator.
It's an eliminator. Takeshita seems with recent interviews that he'd like to eliminate himself from being in North America. So I'm going to take Mox to win this match.
I think the fact that that it is an eliminator match, which is something they're doing a lot of, by the way, and it's always somebody who you don't think is going to win anyways. They're not doing, and eliminator matches aren't a bad idea. You got to do them right. They're doing them terribly. I mean, the fact that it's an eliminator match probably means New Japan doesn't want Takeshita to get the belt. But I mean, it also like makes no sense for Mox to be the champion for very long because he's over here. So anyways, I'm going with Mox.
I'm going with Mox too. Like, I think it's just fairly simple.
Yeah,
like,
I'm going to go Mox.
Yeah, Mox.
Yeah, I don't think we have to. It'll be a good match. I don't think we have to spend a lot of time on it, though.
No.
Trent versus Orange Cassidy. I think as far as the storyline goes and to give Trent more of an identity, he needs the win more than Orange needs the win. So I will pick Trent kind of as the big surprise here because Trent does need that more. In this one, although I could see Chuck come out and be like, oh, Chuck's alive. He's not retiring. And
yeah, I think one of the big issues.
What say you guys?
I think one of the big issues is that I think Trent definitely needs to win more. And for that reason, I'm choosing Orange Cassidy to win, because I feel like who really needs the win is not who's going to get the win. So,
there's a stipulation to this match that I don't know if you guys noticed or heard. It's very interesting. They had a match of Orange won, and then afterwards Trent attacked him quite brutally to get his heat back. He can't do a second job in a row as if you're going to have any heat behind him here. So the stipulation is, interestingly, is a blood feud, is that it's a straight wrestling match.
Yep.
So the gimmick will probably be that it's a straight wrestling match, and then Trent takes out like brass knuckles or something like that and hits him at the end and screws him. Something to take away, to give him heel heat. So I am picking Trent. I think this turn has been not good. If you're going to turn a guy, have a storyline around it, have a storyline around Sue and the fact that he did it in front of her, change his look, give him a different gimmick. Do what they did with JBL, for Christ's sakes. Don't just roll him out there as the same guy, but now he's bad. It's they can do better.
Yep.
Yeah, I think you're muted.
Yeah, I'm muted. So I'm going to go with Trent. Morton, you're going with Trent as well?
Yeah.
And Senator?
I'm going OC.
OC, okay. next up, we have Jericho Hook and Shibata, a Kurata finish. It's never been done before, the double tap out. It's never been done in a triple threat match. Never in the history of wrestling. We've never seen this before.
Double pins never happen.
Yeah, it's brand new.
Double submissions never happen either. I fucking hate this learning tree thing. I hate it so much. Maybe that's the point, but I just absolutely despise it. I don't hate it in the way that you're supposed to hate it. I just think it's a bad gimmick. Jericho is on his way to not only repeat worst wrestler of the year for me, but also worst gimmick of the year for me.
So who are you picking?
I'm picking Jericho still to win, but because they obviously have something with this going, but I don't like this learning tree thing. I think it's so stupid.
All right. I'm going Jericho to win, but who I want to win is Shibata, and I want that to set up a feud between Shibata and Moxley, seeing that Shibata keeps talking to Renee through the translator app. So that has been one of my favorite things about AEW, has been Shibata's gimmick with that, but I don't see him winning this.
That could be gimmick of the year, that translator thing. It's just hilarious. It's so good. I like the Jericho learning tree thing. I like the fact it's refreshed him for me again. It's a new gimmick, new character. Finally, something he needed that. What he really needs is to go away for 18 months.
Yes,
but thank you.
Because historically, if you look at him, he's never had a 5-year run with the company over the last 25 years without going away. He always went away for a period, except for probably his first run in WWE. But other than that, he's always gone away for a year or so. And so he should do that. But, I think Jericho probably will win. Shibata, I would love to see win. Hook That's probably should win. Where does Samoa Joe play in all this is my question.
That's a good point. Maybe the next pay-per-view.
There's something there with him and Hook, especially, right? I love the Jericho Shibata match, by the way. The Jericho Shibata match they had a couple weeks ago when Shibata had the garbage can on, and Jericho was it. That was hilarious. Damn, that was funny. You knew Shibata was so damn funny. I'm going to go with Jericho, but I hope it's one of the other two.
Yeah, I'll go with Jericho. I'd love Shibata, though. And I agree with you, Senator. That stuff has made me pop, the translator. It's been rather good.
Yeah, it's just been a nice little... It doesn't even have to be long, which shows you that a segment can be entertaining without it having to be 10 minutes long each time. You know what I mean?
100%. All right. Swerve Strickland versus Christian. It's been a nice build with all of this. I like seeing Nana back. I did like the gimmick that they did with him and Christian on Dynamite tonight. I'm not really suspending any disbelief. I think you kind of hit on it perfectly there, Senator. Like, it's going to be probably him and Hangman. That's the match you're going to go back to for Swerve here. Christian was kind of a nice stopgap because he can be a good heel and bring something to the champion. But I'm picking Swerve to win.
Yeah, I'm picking Swerve to win as well.
It's a lot like Cody as champion to me. You hope to have the best match you can have, but you know who's going to win. Like, there's not much drama on who's going to win. No. And as soon as Christian was announced, I was like, it's a weak challenger from the fact that you know Swerve is winning. There's no way Christian's winning. But Christian is such a despicable character and a good heel that he's done a good job in the build bringing heat to it. So I expect a really good match, but obviously Swerve is going over. My question is, does this go on last, or does Anarchy in the Arena?
Or does Monet?
Yeah, there's that too. I guess they're billing it as three main events.
Mm-hmm. I think you go with Anarchy in the Arena personally, and I'll get into that, why I think that, but...
I'm going Anarchy has to main event if it's not going to be Swerve. So
then we go to our next match.
Swerve has all, or the main, I don't think the title is ever not main event, except for once.
Yeah.
The lights out match. Needed. The lights out match with Kenny and Mox.
I can think of.
Kenny and Mox for that lights out match?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm pretty sure.
They did one on television. They did one or two on television. They did one on like After Dark or whatever it was called.
Yeah.
And they did one on pay-per-view. So it always almost the title goes on last. So
the TBS championship, Willow versus Monet. Before we get this going, people that have listened to this pod know that I've been a big Mercedes Monet and Sasha Banks fan. I gotta say, without the grandeur of the WWE, she is just another performer right now. I would say right now, if I had to pick from new additions to the women's roster, who has meant more to storylines and to storytelling and being interesting, I'd pick Mariah May easily over Monet right now. It is not even close.
I won't disagree with you, but I will say, give her a chance to wrestle, because that's what she does best.
The promos are so bad. Like,
never been her strength.
She's just, and ever since the thing that got broken to me when she says me and she says Mia, that I the promos have been ruined for me. It's like, and it's about Mia. She kind of does that. She extends the A's always at the end there. And she doesn't know, like, are you a baby face or are you a heel? Like, you're bragging about throwing pitches out at the soccer game and sitting in courtside at the Celtics game, but you're kind of supposed to be the baby face. I thought Willow's promo for the contract signing was fantastic. I think everything Willow's done up to there has been great. Willow has had the spotlight on her. This is the biggest spotlight she's had in her career. And she has taken it and she has ran with it. And she has been an outstanding performer. Well, Monet has had the spotlights and all the money thrown at her, and she has done nothing but disappoint. But like you said, Morton, when the bell rings, that's where she shines, and we'll take a different tune. But as far as interest in the company and big performers, as far as new female talent goes, Mariah May has my interest far more than Mercedes Monet.
The problem with all of that is what me and Morton were talking about earlier, and that is, mm-hmm. if the person is not ready to go, where you can highlight what they do best, you do not put them on TV weekly. And that's what they were doing with Monet. And Monet, weakest part of her game has always been her promos. Her best promo runs that she had was when she was tagging with Bayley, and that's because Bayley is Bayley and can bounce off of anybody that she's in the ring with. You don't do 2 months, almost 3 months of Monet promos and expecting to have this, have the look that she's supposed to have as that superstar coming in. No, it doesn't make sense. You could have done that Boss Town one that she did and then announce that she'll be there for Double or Nothing and keep her off TV until it's time to do it. Have her do the press runs, have her do all that stuff, and then she can turn heel. You know what I mean? Like, closer to when she's ready. Her problem was that they put her in the ring to do promos for how long? Mm-hmm. And it took away all the luster.
There's a lot of things you can do, like videos and different things, to keep people at her in mind without... Senator, that would be much better use of her, the way you described it. But now let's actually get to who are we picking to win. Josh, who are you picking to win?
I mean, you spent so much money on Mercedes, you'd almost think that she has to win, but Willow just got the title. So I think the better story is that you tell this story of, no matter, with all the money, without the glory, you know, with your background of where you came from, at the end of the day, this is a new company, and you can't just come in here and walk and think you're going to win a match so great. I'm going to pick Willow. I hesitate to do it because there is a story, too, of I think it's almost been exactly a year that they'll have this match since the injury, and you can tell this overcoming story with Mercedes. But there's something telling me they don't want to do it just yet, and I'll go with Willow, but I'm probably wrong.
I'm going to go Money, and I just feel like I don't think they have the urge or the strength to overcome the amount of money that they paid, that they're paying her, and not have her walk around with the title.
Yeah. I think you can do a storyline with Money winning it and Willow being disappointed and falling down, maybe going on a losing streak and then coming back up as an underdog. I think you can do something like that. So I think it makes sense for Monet to have the belt. I mean, the whole reason why it feels like you're doing this is, well, obviously there's the built-in storyline from the New Japan match, but it feels like you're doing it largely because you want to keep Monet away from Toni Storm for now. So if you want to do that, you probably give her the belt again, much like Okada having his belt is keeping him away from the world championship. We talk about Will winning the belt, keeping him away from the world championship. So I think Monet wins. It'll be, I think, a terrific match. And it'll be one of those matches. It wouldn't surprise me if we get one of the walk out of the ring, the champion walks out of the ring, but Willow stays in the ring and gets the appreciation clap moment from the crowd that they sometimes do.
Yeah, I can see that.
What I would do to book it, and like I said, I haven't really watched all of it, so if this has happened, let me know. But what I would do is, we've already seen where her weak point is. Have Chris Statlander turn on Willow to give Monet the belt and get, what's his name? The manager.
Yeah, I can't think of his name either. Stokely.
Yeah. Have him be the spokesperson for Mercedes, because now she can just focus on wrestling. She has a mouthpiece. Willow will have somebody to overcome to get back to try rematching Mercedes, because then she would have to, you can build that feud with her and Statlander. Then she can overcome that there, and then you the next rematch can be at like All Out, right? Like have that there in front of all the people. But that's how I would bill it.
I like that. And I like Stokely. I think he's really good. So that would put more of a spotlight on him. I like that a lot.
Right. And then our main event, at least is how we are perceiving it. Anarchy in the Arena, the Elite, which is the Bucks, Okada, and Jack Perry against FTR, Darby, and Brian. Shit's about to hit the fan.
There is always some, this is a very sports entertainment type of match that they do, mm-hmm. like almost cinematic, you know. They always have some pretty clever spots. So,
yeah,
I mean, there should be, and you have some people who are absolutely insane. Mm-hmm. I hope the flamethrower doesn't get used in any way, but you know it's going to. You know, even if it's just setting a table on fire or something for somebody to go through.
What do you mean flamethrower?
It was a cool, it was the flamethrower. Darby Allin came out tonight at the end of the show. He was driven to the arena by TK, fist bumped TK, and then went in the arena and had a flamethrower. It's the first time. It was a really cool visual. Don't get me wrong.
Okay.
It was a really cool visual, but, you know, it's a flamethrower. Be careful.
Yikes.
Okay. If they introduce it, they got to use it, you know?
That's a fact.
This is true. This is true. I think you got to have the Elite win this first one.
I agree that if the Elite loses, they lose more momentum than if the other thrown together team loses, you know, team AEW, if you want to call them, but they're just like a bunch of individuals. So the group should win. I do think they'll go that way, but it's a heel going over at the end. They rarely do that. I guess AEW does it more. WWE did it for a long time with Roman. Didn't hurt, so.
I have Jack Perry winning this match. And I think he's going to win this match against Darby. And that's how this one's going to be. That's how I see it. Because I feel like they're really trying, they need to do something to continue to build Jack Perry. Because I think in their mind, he's going to be like a big star for them. And he needs.
Funny how it's like the best thing that ever happened to him is all that crap.
Oh, yeah.
Being gone that long time.
Yeah. Because besides that, for that, there's nothing more to say what he was going to be doing before. Like, that scapegoat gimmick is his best gimmick so far.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Josh might have frozen again here.
Yeah, I think this StreamYard with three people on here is too much for his bandwidth right now, you know?
Yeah, maybe. You know, he should have the best setup of all of us, but seems like that's not the case. If Jack Perry goes over, like you think he will, who does he face? Who would you have him face next?
Honestly, I think that's a good question. So maybe he'll go over on Brian to set up a feud with Brian.
Because
I feel like he needs to have. If you're going to elevate him to that level, he has to be in the ring with people at that level, and he's going to have to beat people at that level. Because it looked like they were trying to set up FTR, Kenny, against Okada and the Bucks when Kenny came out for Winnipeg.
We know Bushi's coming at some point, too.
We know Bushi. And Bushi just does whatever. But honestly, I just need his run to be a little bit better, because that last time when he was there, it looked like he didn't even really want to be there. Like,
no.
So if he's going
to
be
there. I think the body is starting to betray him again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like these guys, that's the thing. We talk about protecting yourselves, right? Like Eddie Kingston was doing how many crazy matches consistently, and now look at him, right?
Yeah.
Went from one of the biggest stars to now being out for a very long time. So you just got to, yeah, they just got to do better with not doing all these hardcore banger matches every week for no reason. Like, save it.
That's the thing. If you're going to do a special bump, do it in Wembley.
Mm-hmm.
Do it at WrestleMania. Don't do it every single week all the time.
Mm-hmm.
100%. 100%. All right. So there we go. Two excellent shows. I would say, obviously, there's probably more onus on Double or Nothing for the wrestling side, and there's probably more matches that everyone's more excited with for Double or Nothing. Would that be correct?
I think both will be really at the end of the day, you're gonna, if they give us Will and Roddy and do it right, you'll probably get another match that could be in the top 10 of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And you're probably not going to get that out of any match in Saudi, probably. So yeah, you're probably right. You're probably right.
Yeah. The only thing, once again, it's the comparison of time wise for people like to sit down there and watch the shows, because you know King and Queen will be 2.5-3 hours, so it's kind of a little bit more digestible than what Double or Nothing is going to probably end up being, which, and you know they're going to add 2 matches on the 0 hour, which will just be a next thing there. So like, it's kind of like working a whole shift when you're watching these pay-per-views nowadays, and they keep adding more pay-per-views. So you think that they would start cutting back on some of the matches, but it feels like now they're just like, no, we're stuck at 8 to 11 matches per pay-per-view. So
yeah, but 7 hour pay-per-view.
Yeah. But more wrestling wise, you got to go AEW. AEW always delivers on pay-per-views. You can definitely say that for sure. You might not be a fan of their weekly product, but for pay-per-views, they're always pretty good.
Absolutely. We're good about to get to the joke. We had some people that watched this, so shouts out to everyone that gave some comments and at least watched us. Nice. So that's kind of the joy of doing the live thing. Had some people say, "What's up, Fresh Take?"
Did they say that? What's up? Did they say bad things about me?
They said nothing but nice things about all of us, I'm sure.
Oh.
I haven't gone through them yet. I'll go through them afterwards.
That's a surprise. I'm not used to the nice things said about me.
But we got the joke of the week, and I actually do have a joke as well, but I'll let you go first, Morgan.
Hold on. I just want to shout out this one comment that tried to make it seem like I look like Mr. Potato Head. I appreciate that. There you go.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's mean.
Oh yeah, it got interesting there.
You appreciate it though. That's good. At least they're interacting.
Yeah, they're interacting. That's all that matters. But come on. Let's not be like that.
No, I appreciate the jokes, because you know the difference between me and them is that I'm visual. You can actually see me. I can't see you. So
exactly.
Yeah.
Liked it. Joke of the week, Morton, you go and then I'll go.
All right. Yours is gonna have to top mine then, you realize. You confident?
Mine would definitely not. Yours, it's terrible.
Well, mine's not this one. Okay, we'll put it in the PG-13, maybe.
I'm going so you're category. Going with kind of the you're kind of going with like the dirty jokes. I'm going with the dad not jokes.
Always. I think I'm going most with of the
dad
them,
jokes.
I think most of them are in the PG-13 range most of the time, but right. Occasionally I'll go hard R. I think this is PG-13 or soft R. I think it's kind of because you see a man comes home and his husband comes home and he sees his wife sitting on the couch and she's got a couple suitcases. He says, "Oh, where are you going?" She goes, "I'm leaving you and I'm moving to Las Vegas. I figure there I can get $400 for performing oral sex on a man, whereas here I have to do it for free." Husband just kind of nods and looks at her, goes upstairs, comes down with a couple suitcases himself. She goes, "Where are you going?" He goes, "Oh, I'm going to Vegas with you. I want to see how you can live on $800 a year."
That's great.
Okay. Good one.
Now I want to see what the follow-up is going to be.
What has tires and flies?
I wasn't expecting.
Oh, what? I told you, this is terrible.
All right,
what's that? I don't know.
A garbage truck.
So that was
tires.
That was the joke of flies. The week.
Okay,
flies.
I get it.
Oh, flies, flies.
Yeah.
Garbage truck.
Yeah.
And my stock is falling.
Understanding. It's funny how understanding it didn't make it funnier.
No, I told you it was terrible. I'm going to bring the bad jokes of the week.
All right.
Shout out.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to the promo side. Senator, what's going down?
Not so soft pod every Monday. Still happening. Keeping up with the Senator. We'll be back when either Perfect Match or Ultimatum, whichever one comes back first. And then... shout out Cass and the Also Dope podcast. I don't know when, but I literally just recorded an episode today. And so I don't know when it's coming out, maybe next week or the week after. So just go tune in there.
Mon?
Big announcements coming soon, hopefully, for Kings of the Strip and Tales of the Strip. If you're in the Calgary area, and maybe you guys would have a chance to come down and say hi yourselves. And June 1st is the Panel One Comic Creator Expo, highlighting only local talent making comic books. And a really good event, really, from a Panel One is a nonprofit organization to looking to highlight artists, local artists. So hopefully you come down June 1st at the Hillhurst Sunnyside Community Center. From 10 to or 11 to 6 anytime, and say hi to me and buy the book. Don't buy the book, but say hi. Buy some from somebody. That's what counts.
And then for me, we got the rundown coming up this week. We just had bootlegs and B-sides minus Senator. This past week we did 1996 to go back and do that. We're doing the next two ones we have. We're doing 2011 next month, and then tentatively Disney.
Okay.
So I am looking forward to, I just don't know when the time to do the Disney one is, but we will be doing a Disney one rather soon as well.
Dope.
I look to,
and an update on
four in a row and an update on We Talk and Fresh Take.
Yeah.
And the new domains that you can find. Obviously, like I said, for Fresh Take, a lot of the pods will be here on YouTube. Going forward, and then also on the audio side. So make sure, you know, the best way to see them immediately is here on YouTube, and then eventually within the next 24 hours they'll be available on audio and having the new domain side. Morton, I'll let you speak more on that really quickly.
Yeah, no, just there's going to be some changes to the We Talk website and where you're going to get our pods from going forward. We're going to be it's going to be all positive changes. It's going to be more accessible. It's going to be more popular, and the changes are coming over the course of a year. Some will come rather quickly, some big ones, and then some further ones down the road. So keep your ears open. We'll keep you up to date on it.
Absolutely. All right. So for Senator and for Morton, I'm Josh. Until next time, folks, cheers and enjoy the day, people.
Thank you for listening to the Fresh Take Network. Follow us on social media platforms at Fresh Take 42.